Blog Talk Radio. You are now listening to Say What Now with Classy Diva and Blogzilla here on Blog Talk Radio. Allow yourself to relax, unwind, and enjoy as we talk about the latest in celebrity gossip, news, and current events. Once again, you are now listening to Say What Now on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on Say What Now Radio. Today is October the 19th, 2008. You are sitting here with Classy Diva, Blogzilla, and Wise Diva. Today is going to be actually an extended show where we're going to be talking about gray rape as well as date rape. We do welcome all of your questions, comments, or concerns. You can call in at any time at 347-677-1412. 347-677-1412. We also do have our chat line open as well, so if you want to feed any of your questions through in the chat line, feel free to do so. Blogzilla.
What's going on?
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing okay. I really can't complain. I didn't get to do everything that I wanted to do this weekend, but you know, I did a little bit. I got to hang out with 8-Ball and MJG. They're really cool. I did a wonderful interview with them and a couple of groupies. So that was really interesting.
Oh, okay, that sounds fun. And why, Diva, how are you this afternoon, girl?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, Blogzo, let us know what's going on in entertainment this week.
I have no clue. None. Eminem dropped a freestyle. But other than that, I couldn't even tell you what was hot in entertainment. I'm sorry.
Okay. I actually went to the Hip Hop Awards taping yesterday at the Atlanta Civic Center, and I can definitely state that it was an amazing experience to actually be able to go to it. Some of the highlight of the performances that I was able to see, we had Ludacris and T.I. that did a number together. T-Pain actually opened the show. Cat Williams was scheduled to open the show, and the rumor has it is that Cat Williams and T-Pain, like a bet or something, and T-Pain won, and that's how he was able to host the show. There was also a performance by Salt and Pepper, Lady of Rage, Yo-Yo, and MC Light, just giving a tribute to the ladies of hip-hop. Rick Ross did a performance, and also Young Jeezy. I think I'm forgetting somebody, but overall, the entire show was definitely phenomenal. Also had the opportunity to go to Neo's after party. He had it at an art gallery here in Atlanta. Kudos out to Neo. I can always say anytime that I go to a Neo event, he really takes it all out, the ambiance, even just the amount of people that came and the class of people that came. It was pretty hot. I don't know if anybody's been listening to CNN, but Mr. Powell, he actually said that he was going to back Barack, and I think this came out yesterday, so everybody has been abuzz about that.
It came out earlier this morning, and not only did he back Barack Obama, but he tore apart and he ripped apart the whole Republican Party. Now, if we want to talk about politics, I can do that. Now he ripped apart the whole Republican Party, and it's huge because the Republican Party used to stand for certain values, and they're really lately, since the Bush administration, been going against it, and he blasted them on the fact, which was very interesting to me, because he said they're saying things like Barack Obama is a Muslim. And even if he was a Muslim, this is America. That shouldn't be a problem. And he really had a problem with that. And I thought that stood out to me, and I really wanted to just applaud Colin Powell for making that statement, because even if he was, I've been saying that for the longest. He's like, he's a Muslim. So what? Even if he was a Muslim, it shouldn't be a problem. And he gave this great story about how there was a picture of a mother who was kneeled down in front of a grave of one of our murdered soldiers. He got hit with, he was in an IED and lost his life. What happened was when he was 14 years old, when September 11th happened, and he gave his life for his country, because he had waited until he was 18 to enlist. And he died in Iraq. And on the top of his grave it wasn't a cross. It wasn't a picture of Jesus. It was a crescent and a star. He was a Muslim boy, but he was still an American, and he loved this country. So they're making it seem like this is an American, like you have to be a Christian to be president, and you really don't. But Barack Obama is and always was a Christian. I thought that was tremendous for him to make that statement. So applaud him.
Okay, and well spoken, Blogzilla. Wise Diva, do you know anything else that's going on in entertainment this week?
Well, I heard that a listing came out for Beyonce's concept of her album with the Sasha versus Beyonce concept. I thought that was kind of interesting that she's kind of, I mean, she's mentioned, I think, Sasha before the interview, so I thought for her to come up with a theme for her album, I don't know, it seemed kind of gimmicky to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that worked.
What do you feel about her first two singles that's come out thus far?
I actually heard the original song that was recorded, If I Were a Boy. I think the original artist was a young lady. I can't remember her name, but I actually like her version better. But I do like, that's what it was. I actually liked her version better than Beyonce's, but I do think Beyonce sings the song nicely. And I wasn't that crazy about the second one. I felt like it could have been on her first album, not really a whole lot of evolution and growth in it, but I don't know, you know, it's Beyonce. She has her brand and her theme, and it's going to work for her, I'm sure, as far as sales goes. But I would like to see, I'm looking forward to hear more about the album.
Right, absolutely. Well, for everybody that's just tuning in, we are talking about gray rape and date rape today on Blog Talk Radio with Say What Now with Blogzilla, Wise Diva, and Classy Diva. We do welcome all of your calls, questions, or concerns at 347-677-1412. We're going to take a commercial break, play a song, and we'll be right back to introduce our special guest host.
You know, it's an election year when certain people start grabbing headlines by attacking the faith of presidential candidates. With all these stones being cast at Senator Obama, it can be hard to know what to believe. But in Luke, Jesus taught us that we must listen to what a man says, because out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So here are words from Senator Obama's heart.
I think we make a mistake when we fail to acknowledge the power of faith in people's lives. Kneeling beneath that cross on the south side, I felt that I heard God's Spirit beckoning me. I submitted myself to His will and dedicated myself to discovering His truth.
Paid for by Matthew 25 Network, Matthew25.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Matthew 25 Network is responsible for the content of this ad because we think it's time for a better Christian witness in politics.
Think you know all there is about sex? Silly rabbit. Go to Blogzilla.com, the sexual intellectual, to find out what's going on in the sexual revolution. Blogzilla.com.
Being laid off, downsized, or replaced. Be your own boss. Right now, corp or LLC.com will prepare your articles for your corporation or LLC for free. We are your one-stop shop for your small business needs. Corp or LLC.com offers logo design, website design, virtual office, business plans, 501c3 completion, executive assistance, business cards, and so much more. Call now, 866-966-0722. That's 866-966-0722. Or visit us online at www.corporllc.com. That's www.corporllc.com. Corporllc.com, the first step in small business.
Sounds like a love song. most incredible, baby. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. Good dude, I know you love me like cooked food. Even though a nigga gotta move like a crook move. We was together on the block since the lunch. We should've been together having Four Seasons brunch. We used to use umbrellas to face the bad weather. So now we travel first class to change the forecast. Never in bunches, just me and you. I loved your point of view cause you held no punches. Still I left you for months on end. It's been months since I checked back in. We're somewhere in a small town, somewhere locking them all down. Wood grain, porn change, armor all down. I can understand why you want a divorce now. Though I can't let you know it, pride won't let me show it. Pretend to be heroic, that's just one to grow it. But deep inside a nigga so sick, I can't see him coming down my eyes. So I gotta make the song cry. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta let the song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. On repeat the CD of Biggs, me and my bitch. Watching Bonnie and Clyde pretending to be that shit. Empty gun in your hand saying, let me see that clip. Shopping streets, pull out your Visa quick. Nigga had very bad credit, you helped me lease that whip. You helped me get the keys to that V.6. We were so happy poor, but when we got rich, when our signals got crossed, and we got flipped. Rather mine, I don't know what made me leave that shit. Made me speed that quick, let me see, that's it. It was the cheese, help them bitches get amnesia quick. I used to cut up they buddies, now they saying they love me. Used to tell they friends I was ugly and wouldn't touch me. Then I showed up in that dubbed out buggy. And then it got fuzzy and they don't remember that. And I don't remember you. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this song cry. Yeah, I seen them coming down your eyes, but I gotta make this song cry. I can't see it coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this song cry. A face of stone was shocked on the other end of the phone. Word back home is that you had a special friend. So what was oh so special then? You have given away without getting at me. That's your fault. How many times you've forgiven me? How was I to know that you was plain sick of me? I know the way a nigga living was whack. She don't get a nigga back like that. Shit, I'm a man with pride. You don't do shit like that. You don't just pick up and leave and leave me sick like that. You don't throw away what we had just like that. I was just fucking them girls. I was gonna get right back. They say you can't turn a bad girl good. But once a good girl's gone bad, she's gone forever. I'm on forever. Shit, I gotta live with the fact I did you wrong forever. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta let the song cry. I know I seen him coming down your eyes, but I gotta make the song cry. I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make the song cry. You're fucked up, girl.
Wait, no, I bring it up.
I'm not part of it, I'll bring it up.
Thank you guys so much. Welcome back to Say What Now here on Blog Talk Radio, where we're talking about date rape and gray rape. Before we get started with the topic, I wanted you guys just to know how I was able to decide to do a show today. I was actually on Cosmopolitan.com's blog, and they did a story that's called A New Kind of Date Rape, and it's what they call gray rape. They stated it was casual hookups, mixed signals, and alcohol play a part in a confusing form of sexual assault. Here's everything you need to know about what some people call gray rape. And they start with a brief story. Alicia has been out of college for 3 years, and by most measures, she's doing great. She has a great job as a consultant, a high-rise condo, and a boyfriend, her friend's Izzy. But in one disquieting way, she has not been able to leave her college self behind. She is haunted by the memory of something that occurred one night 1 year ago, a sexual encounter and an unanswered question, was I really raped? This is what happened. She asked another student, Kelvin, her platonic date, to a college. The two of them went out for dinner, first with friends and then to a dance. She remembers that they got drunk but not what she would say, wasted. After the dance, they went to Kevin's room and eventually started making out. She told him flat out that she didn't want to proceed with sex, and he said okay. But in a few moments, he had pushed her down on the couch and positioned himself on top of her and started having sex. She said no, stop, very softly. Actually, she felt that it was too soft. And that's what she told herself later. But when he ignored her and answered her anyway, she tensed up and tried to go numb until it was over. He fell asleep afterwards and she left her dorm, having the dirty feeling of not knowing what to do or who to tell or is this really my fault. While it felt like rape to her, she said she did not want to have sex with the guy, but at the same time, she didn't know what was going to happen when she reported it. And this is where the whole concept comes from, gray rape, which is an extension of date rape. We have two awesome guests that are on with us today. We have Sharon Green. Sharon Green is connecting knowledge, experience, and resources in order to help people build a better life for themselves and driving theme for Sharon's career and personal mission. Sharon does this by providing opportunities and means for you to examine your beliefs and to awaken your imagination. Sharon has learned her life purpose when she was in her 20s, yardstick by which she measures her decisions, and they have led her a wonderful journey to a very adventurous life. She has worked on 5 continents, has traveled to 31 countries and 2 territories. Normally, she stays with local residents so she can see life through their eyes. Sharon is a returned Peace Corps volunteer. She also volunteered and lived with people in Australia. She lived with indigenous people, worked on a farm, and lived in a cave once for a few days. So as you can see, Ms. Sharon has done a lot. Say What Now does introduce Ms. Sharon Greenspan. How are you, Sharon?
I'm doing great.
Great. Can you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and what you're doing and why you are on the show today?
Sure. I think you've already told them a little bit about me. I've traveled all over the world. I've been a Peace Corps volunteer, but what I'm doing nowadays is really helping people to find their paths and to make the transitions in their life that are necessary so they can follow their path and their authentic selves. I do that a lot, mostly through life purpose, which I learned in my 20s, and I think it's great for people to learn it as early in life as possible. Why I'm on the show today is because I am also a survivor of date rape. And that happened to me also when I was in college, like the person you wrote about in the article. And if there's any way that I can help even just one person have a better understanding of what's going on, how to prevent it, or what to do afterwards, then that's a great thing.
Okay, thank you so much. Our second guest that we have on today is Dr. Nancy Irwin, which is a psychotherapist. Originally from Atlanta, where she trained as an opera singer, Dr. Nancy Irwin moved to New York City in 1985 to pursue a career as a stand-up comedian. She worked all over the country and abroad and moved to L.A. in 1994 when she heard that Hollywood needed more blondes. Dr. Nancy experienced an epiphany when she began volunteer work for Children of the Night, a shelter for sexual abuse children, for sexually abused children. It changed her life and prompted her to pursue a doctorate in psychology and to specialize in the prevention and healing of child sexual abuse. Dr. Nancy is in private practice in West Los Angeles and is also a busy public speaker for Children of the Night, the Rape and Incest National Network, and Planned Parenthood. She's been quoted extensively in Cosmopolitan, Red Book, Woman's World, and others. She has appeared on numerous radio and TV shows, including The Eddie Griffin Show, The Fashion Network, Blind Date, to name a few. Dr. Irvin is a diplomat member of American Academy of Experts in Traumatic Stress, a member of the Southern California Society of Clinical Hypnotists, and sits on the Board of Education of the California Commission on Sexual Offending. We do welcome Dr. Irvin. How are you, Doctor?
I'm just great, Keisha. Thank you so much for having me here to speak about this really important topic.
Thank you. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about yourself, where they can find out more information about you?
Yes, I have two websites. One is just drnancyirwin.com. That's drnancyirwin.com. And that's about my therapy practice. And the other, I've got a book that's out, and it sounds kind of like Sharon's mission. I'm committed to people living a life that they love. I just wrote a book that's geared to people age 40 or above. I believe people can change at any age, but I think Sharon's right. The sooner the better, because you can start living your life right and loving your life right now. Anyway, that book is called You Turn. That's a visual. It's Y-O-U, Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife. And that website is makeayouturn.com. That's makeayouturn.com. And again, it's a collection of 40 stories from people over the age of 40 who made dramatic changes in their life. Some were sexual awakenings or overcoming addiction or changing their professional life or their personal relationships, all sorts of things, because it's never too late to change.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to do, first of all, is we're going to actually start out with Sharon. And I want you to tell everybody a little bit about your experience and how you have grown from it.
Wow. Well, my experience with date rape?
Yes, that's correct.
For me, it was in college when it happened, as I said, and the friend of a friend had invited me to a party. And I didn't really know this person, but I trusted the friend in between us. And when I got there, I kind of met him in the hallway, and he said, oh, he was just going to go catch a half-hour TV show, and did I want to come and watch that and then go to the party? And I thought, sure, that sounds fine. And we went, and we watched TV, and it was perfectly fine. And then he said, oh, why don't we go put your coat back up in my room? And so we went up into his room, and before I knew it, he was pushing me down on the bed and ripping my clothes off and putting himself on top of me. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't really even know what was going on. I mean, part of it was it just happened so fast, and part of it was my parents had really not taught me anything about sex. And this was in the days before Sex and the City and HBO and being able to see it on TV every day. So I just really didn't know what was happening. It was a pretty frightening experience, and of course, the next day or so, you know, I just kept bleeding, and I just didn't know, like, what this was. I knew it wasn't my period, obviously, and, you know, I went to the doctor, and she just said, well, yeah, your hymen's been torn, and you're going to bleed for another day or so, and you'll be fine. Don't worry about it, and, you know, it was just kind of a shock. It was, in those days, I don't even think the phrase date rape existed. So I certainly didn't tell anybody about it. It was just kind of something that happened, and I guess I just kind of kept it to myself for a very long time.
With that being said, you know, you didn't contact the authorities or anything like that. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I didn't. I didn't tell anybody about it. I think I felt embarrassed. Not so much ashamed, but just embarrassed, because I didn't even really know what was happening to me. And this was somebody that I would continue to see somewhat in social situations. I mean, we had a class together, and you know, he came up to me in class the next day and said, "Are you all right?" And I just kind of said, "Yeah." And he said, "God, there was blood everywhere." And I just didn't say anything. And again, it was more that I was embarrassed about what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're
and you were how old? I was 18, 19.
Mm. We're going to start with Blockzilla and let Blockzilla provide some feedback coming from a male's perspective and how he feels about what happened to you.
Now, I'm just shocked. Like, I can't imagine going through something so physical like that. I was taking advantage of myself at a young age, but I just can't imagine now. I know that a lot of girls, a lot of women in general, become like sexually confused. I don't know if that's the right, but they become real sexual if they go through a situation like rape or molestation. Did that happen to you, Sharon?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. What do you mean they become real sexual?
Like, I know a lot of girls who are real sexually open and do a lot of stuff sexually and have multiple sex partners. When I ask them a question, were you raped or molested, they tend to say yes. So I'm sort of asking, did that cause you to have problems sexually, like to... like with your partners, or were you willing to do a lot of other stuff because of the situation that you went through?
No, I mean, I think prior to it, I was extremely naive. Obviously, I'd never had sex. I really had not been sexually active. I mean, maybe, you know, kissing and second base, and that was really about it. Afterwards, you know, I was thinking about it earlier today, and I don't really know how long it was before I was okay even dating somebody again.
Yes.
I was blessed to eventually date somebody after that I did have a very good sexual relationship with, somebody who was really kind and really gentle with me.
Okay, that's good.
So I think it's because she was older when this happened, not to take away from the trauma of it at all, but generally when girls have been molested earlier, that can set up a pattern of promiscuity, where they see that they feel like their power comes from their sexuality, so they begin using it to get attention. She was a little bit older. She was already mature in many other ways, so it didn't set up that sort of hypo or hypersexuality, as it's called, which you frequently, and you're right, you see that a lot in strippers and hookers, people who very early on learned that their identity was in their sexuality. Sounds like Sharon was already had a good sense of self when this horrible thing happened to her.
Yeah.
Okay. Why, Steve, what do you want to say about that?
Well, I definitely can understand the trauma that one goes through. I think to come out of that and having to trust men again is humongous. It's a big hurdle to cross. I had a similar experience but my sense, it was I was attacked by an ex-boyfriend after leaving an abusive relationship, and he kind of tracked me down just to traumatize me some more. So I think for me, just going through the experience where you consider acquaintance rape and gray rape, I think it gets really complicated when you talk about the woman's judgment in the situation and how so easily it can be, you get caught in the emotion, you're aroused as much as he's aroused, but when you make the decision to change your mind, that gray area comes in. But at the bottom line is, if the guy's not responding to your request to stop, you know, that calls into question, did you say it at the right time? And you get that guilt. So I figure, you know, a lot of the times when you go through something like that, I've questioned my judgment in just choosing that man to be in a relationship with and then have him do what he did to me. But I can imagine having acquaintance where you thought we were casual and you got intimate and then he took it too far. I just wonder how you start to forge ahead with building trust in relationships and trusting your own judgment. And that, aside from the physical pain and the emotional distress, you know, you're trying to get to some kind of normalcy afterwards, and then you just never really know when to trust your judgment again or how to improve your judgment after that. It's really a tough thing to get through.
That's a very great point, Y. Steve, and I'm glad that you brought that up. Something that Sharon said that really stuck out to me was that she felt embarrassed about something that happened to her, and she felt violated. I can say from a lot of ladies that I have spoken with, who has experienced this, they all say that they felt embarrassed. And I want the doctor to speak on that for us a little bit, on how we take the ownership of our bodies being violated and we feel bad about it.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Can you repeat the question about the embarrassment of a woman who's been raped?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Well, because you're out of control when you're raped. And when you're out of control, you're either left with very few emotions, anger, embarrassment, guilt. It's very natural to assume that as a way of trying to feel some sense of power. If you sometimes feel more empowered if you are embarrassed. You feel like you are responsible. That gives you some sort of sense of control. It doesn't make sense really now hearing it from this side, but when you're in that position, it is an attempt to be in control and make sense out of a situation that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we are all as animals trying to do. And especially when the primitive state has been triggered in a case like this, you definitely are trying to, yeah, in trauma, you're trying to make sense out of something that makes no sense.
Yeah, you got to understand, too, that when something like that happens, as a man, what we do is we take total control of the situation, and we're doing very intimate and taboo things, like, because sex, even in today's world, sex is still taboo. So, like, you're doing things that are so, like, private, and this is being done against your will, against her will, that's embarrassing in general. Like, if somebody yells at you, you get embarrassed. So imagine if they're having their way with you and you're powerless to stop it. I get chills. I can't see how a man could go to do all of that. Like, I know I've been in a situation where we're in the middle of sex, and she's like, stop. And I'm like... And I just have to stop. And even in that situation, it's just crazy. Like,
I was just going to say, that's because you have a healthy psyche and you have respect for women and other people. Somebody who rapes, somebody who has to have that sense of control or feel like they do, they do not have a healthy psyche, to say the least. They're out of control, so they're trying to exert control to prove that they're powerful, in control people. When underneath it all, and I work with sex offenders a lot, I've never worked with anybody who crosses any sort of sexual boundary, who does not, underneath it all, is not broken in their psyche. They grew up feeling very powerless and out of control. And, of course, I'm not defending their behavior or defending it at all, let me hasten to say. I'm just saying that is the underpinnings of the dynamics driving their behavior. That is the way to get those needs met and give them a sense of power and control so they don't have to exert it in this way and hurt other people.
Yeah. Now, you said one key thing that I wanted to touch on. You said power. A friend of mine told me that rape is not an act of sex. It's an act of power. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Their sexuality is distorted, and they've got that confused with power and control. But it's the ultimate. It's much more a violation of somebody than taking their wallet or their property or their car. You can't take away their choice. I mean, when you take away their choice to what they're going to do with their bodies, you can't return that. You can always replace a car or something else, but it's the ultimate violation. So in that sense, it's the ultimate sense of power and control when you can overtake someone else physically, especially sexually. It's the most life-affirming act that we have, sex is. So when it's used against one, that's the ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ziva, how do you feel about what the doctor just stated?
That actually makes a lot of sense. And I was wondering, I wanted to ask the doctor, do you think, I guess for me, living in the, you know, what's kind of modern times and with the male-female role and tradition is kind of changing so much, do you think that our society has, dropped the ball when it comes to teaching young girls and young men about seeing each other as valuable beings as opposed to, you know, objectifying each other and reducing each other to, you know, objects for our glorification? Do you think that plays a role in how a man, a young boy kind of grows up seeing women placed in a certain category, and then when it comes to them turning to this rapist behavior, rapist ideology? Is it a common thing with misogyny and maybe, I don't know, maybe raised by a single overbearing mom? I'm just not trying to stereotype or profile a rapist or anything, but I'm also always wondering about, you know, we have the magazines and the music videos, and women are constantly seen as this faceless figure, you know, for whatever pleasure to bring a man. I wonder how that plays into the psyche of how we're going to be in the future viewing each other as, you know, sex objects as opposed to someone to relate to sexually.
Yeah, great questions. And you hit on everything. Yeah, there is no typical profile of a rapist, but generally they grow up having little respect for women. So it was either an absent mother or one who was highly, highly critical, made fun of them, told them what pieces of crap men are, so they had a lot to prove. Many times there's physical abuse. So the only way they felt they could have any control is sexually, because in our culture, what are men allowed to do? They're allowed to be sexual and to be angry, to be violent. That's the way they are trained. That's pretty much the only way they could express their feelings. They're not allowed to cry or express their feelings openly unless they're an artist or, you know, creative artist or singer or something. But men in our macho culture still get a bad rap. That's why there's a lot more men that have been raped or sexually abused. That's grossly underreported. There's a lot more than we know about, because how would they dare admit that? They're trained to, all right, get it whenever you can. Yeah. The teacher was hot, man, get it. Well, 10 years later, when it shows up as an intimacy issue in their relationships, it's a huge problem. Just as bad as it is the opposite gender.
I was sexually abused as a child. I was young. I was about 10, maybe even younger. And I went over to my neighbor's house, and I liked his sister. His sister was hot. And I started feeling on her booty. And long story short, she sent everybody downstairs. She had me in the room, and she made me do things to her. And I was young, and she was about, like, maybe 17.
And you were how old, 10?
I was about 10. And she totally took advantage of me. I mean, I didn't tell anybody about it, but I mean, I tell everybody now, but I was taken advantage of, and I think it kind of messed me up in the head a little bit.
I'm sure it did. I hope you'll see somebody and maybe work through any issues that are pertaining to that, because it certainly can.
I like being a sexual intellectual. I am, though.
You what?
I said I like being the sexual intellectual that I am, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But see, now what you just reported, and I'm sure you never reported at the time, there are, I'm sure, millions of cases like that that are never reported.
Yeah.
Never reported. And it's a shame.
Do you think that though, is really about society today versus the way it was, you know, generations ago? Because one thing that I see is that today people are so much more about me, and it's what I want. And that's a power thing, but it's a little bit different, I think, from some of the power that you're talking about. And I think, for me at least, that is kind of the difference between a date rape and a rape where you don't know the person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there was what we call a great self-esteem movement in the 80s. That was the buzzword. And now what we're seeing, kids born of that age, the new kids that are coming along, tend to feel very entitled and a little narcissistic. If I'm offending anyone, if you're in that age group, I apologize that I'm not saying everyone across the board, but that's been the general tendency. Because before that, the self was second. So now people with the parenting skills, we're training people to be much more, you know, building their self-esteem. So we need to level out the playing field, and I think that's what the next generations and we as parents are going to get better and better. The pendulum is swinging the other way is what I'm trying to spit out. So now we're seeing there's a healthy balance of being respectful to others and the self. They're not mutually exclusive. A rapist is the one who's completely narcissistic and only thinking about his own needs and no one else's. And then somebody who, I guess, allows that, enables that, is completely the other extreme. They're passive dependent. So what you need, what we're all growing together as skills now, is a healthy respect and being very clear about how our feelings are, our expectations about sex. And unfortunately, women, the brunt is on us. We have to be extremely careful about the situations we put ourselves in. even if you think you know somebody and they come from a good friend, a recommendation, it's, you know, it's horrible that it happened to Sharon. She did trust somebody, and then that happened.
Now, Dr. Irwin, I have a question. Now, I might not be using the right word, and I really, really hope I don't offend anyone. I just kicked my computer. I'm sorry. I really hope I don't offend anyone. But if a woman puts herself in certain situations, like how should they deal with that? Like if they go to a guy's house, not saying that this is the formula for rape, but if they go to a guy's house late at night, 2-3 in the morning, dressed with half to nothing, and they end up in a terrible situation, where do you place the responsibility of something like that?
Well, I would never say a woman deserves it, and it's always it's criminal behavior if she says no and he takes advantage of her. But here's my take on it. I think it's really unfair of women to flaunt that stuff in front of a man. You never know what you're dealing with. It's like hanging a piece of meat in front of a lion. And if they bust out of the cage, then you're going to get mad at the lion. Well, you just can't taunt people like that. It's really unfair. It's almost like entrapment.
Yeah.
And it's not a real nice thing to do. So you really want to, you know, respect yourself, and there's nothing wrong with wearing hoochie clothes and going out and having a good time. But wait until you know somebody better and you really know what you're dealing with before you do that.
Yeah.
It's just common sense. Again, I'm never saying anybody deserves it. No one does.
No.
But it's really unfair to do that to a man, even one who's not a rapist. It's kind of being a tease. Not real
right.
fair.
Well, actually, I have a story for everybody. I'm just to protect the lady that gave me this information, I won't state her name, but it kind of goes back to what the doctor in Blockzilla just spoke about. Basically, we're going to call her Michelle. Michelle has known this guy for maybe 3 or 4 months, and the guy called Michelle over around 2:30 in the morning. He said that I just get back out from the party, and I want you to come over. And he was like, wow, I'm really drunk, but just come on over. So she thought, well, I know this guy pretty good. We're cool or whatever, so I'm just going to go on and go over. So Michelle goes over to the guy's house or whatever, and she can tell that he was kind of drunk indeed, but she felt that it was nothing that she couldn't handle. So Michelle has had sex with this guy previously, and they decided to engage into sex at that particular time. Well, as they was engaging in sex, the guy was trying to get Michelle to have sex. And Michelle was like, I don't want to have anal sex. And he was like, okay. And he attempted to force his penis inside of her anal. And she was like, will you please stop? And then he stopped for a minute. And then they proceeded with sex. What she said, what happened was he turned her over, pinned her down, and forced himself into making her do anal sex 4 times. Excuse me, I think she said he penetrated her 5 times, and she kept yelling to him, stop, I said no, I don't want to do this. So the guy finally stopped, and then he starts joking and said, well, I don't do that anyway, that's nasty. And Michelle said that she left shortly after. Now, when she left, she said the first thing that she was concerned with was I really raped? Like, did this really happen to me? So she reached out, number one, to a guy that she trusted, and he told her, he apologized that she got raped, but it's not her fault. He didn't invite the guy over, and he didn't make her go where he was. And maybe she should get to know people before she involves them in her lives. But is it her fault? You know what I mean? This is a guy
it's kind of a borderline case because she'd already had sex with him. She was dating him. She wanted to have vaginal intercourse with him, and then he forced her to have anal intercourse, which she did not want to have. This guy's got some control issues. He's kind of a borderline rapist, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had some other personality disorders as well. He's definitely got some control issues. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened to him. Many times someone is trying to turn their own victimization into power. and into their empowerment. So they try to move from the victim position to the perpetrator position. That you see that a lot in sex offenders of all kinds.
Sharon, what do you want to say about that story?
Well, I would say that she is raped. I think when a woman says no, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was in a somewhat similar situation. I actually did marry at the end of my college, and I married somebody who turned out to be abusive. And at one point when I said I didn't want to have sex with him, he tried to talk me into having sex with a beer bottle. And I was really, really adamant, no, 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 no. And thank goodness he did listen. But had he not, yeah, I definitely would have considered it rape.
Wow.
Wow.
And you want to look at the psychological metaphor of that. He wanted you to have sex with a beer bottle, what, to insert it into yourself while he watched?
No, for him to insert it in me. It was like,
he wanted
I didn't
to
want
insert
him,
it.
He still wanted to have some experience of that. So, yeah, it was definitely about power.
Oh, God, yeah. Talk about objectifying, just using another object. There's always something like that going on when they want to use another object. Wow.
I would wonder what he would have said if he said, well, let me do you first. Beer bottle.
Yeah.
See how you like it.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. And just coming from a male's perspective, Blockzilla, in the heat of passion, how do you feel about that story in regards to Michelle?
Michelle? So Michelle got raped, anally raped?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. I got to call her up after the show and say, tell her, you know, I'm sorry that you got anally raped, Michelle. But how I feel about it, now with that whole thing, I find it like, it's rape is rape. Like Sharon said, no is no. But she put herself in that situation, like Dr. Irwin was just saying, she walked into fire. She went over a drunk guy's house late at night. I mean, and they were in a relationship, but to me, no is no. And once someone says no, you have to stop. I never would have even tried it, but once you say no, you have to stop. But then I feel like she probably should have stopped after he penetrated her anally, and she said no, and then it went back to vaginal. I think she should have cut it right there. But in the heat of the moment, this is me saying I'm not aroused, I'm not horny right now. So it's easy for me to say that because I can think rationally now. But when you're aroused, both men and women, you just think totally differently. So I don't know. I just find it really, 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 really. Really,
I don't know. I think a guy who has a respect for women, no matter what's going on, if a woman says stop, they do. And I don't know about you ladies, but I've had that happen before, even if it just hurt for some unknown reason. He wasn't trying to hurt me. And I said, I don't feel well or whatever. They've always, always stopped. I don't care how aroused they were. That's a lack of responsibility to use that as once a guy gets started, he can't quit. I'm sorry, but that's just BS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I stop most of the time. Now, I say most of the time, sometimes I try to get like an extra pump or two in. Does that make me a rapist? Like, if I'm hurting her and she's like, stop, and I try to get, like, an extra pump or two, and then I stop. Does that make me a rapist?
Well, if you stop.
It makes you a not good listener.
I think it all comes down to respect. A man who has respect for women is going to honor her request, and vice versa. A woman should respect a man.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're just going to stop this for 1 second. We actually have a caller on the line. Caller,
right.
Are you? Hello, trying to get him on. He will not unmute. Okay,
hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
This is Say What Now. What's your name, caller?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's your name, caller?
Okay, my name is Joe.
Okay, Joe. And what's your comment?
I can't hear you.
What's your comment, Joe?
Oh, I just was listening. I just came in now, so I just thought I'd call
in.
Hey, Joe. And
Joe, can you hear me?
No, you got a lot of cell phones breaking up.
Oh, Joe, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Are you Joe the plumber?
Yeah, I'm Joe the Plumber.
I just had to do that. I'm sorry. You're not, as long as you're not Joe the Rapist, you're okay with me.
Okay.
Okay, well, Joe, while we have you on the line, what are your feelings about date rape?
Well, let me see. I think the last comment that was made, I think you made it, was as soon as a woman says no, the man has to stop, and that sounds great in theory, but you're feeling, I'm sure, that a man cannot stop himself. Oh, I'm sorry, that a man can't stop himself at any time. I think biologically, if a man is penetrating a woman and he's within the last few throes of orgasm, he cannot stop himself. So if a woman says no at that time, that's very disingenuous.
It's unfair, but I think it's BS.
It's probably physiologically impossible during that time. So if a woman says stop,
you pull out and beat it out.
Huh?
I mean, if a girl says stop, you have to stop. I mean, me personally, it's happened to me. I just pulled out and beat my orgasm out of me. And I'm just, when a girl says stop, you got to stop, because you got to keep thinking, like, when she says no, if she reports you, that's like 10 years in jail, and then you'll be anally raped. So, I mean...
That's the social aspects of it. I'm talking about the physiological aspects of it. If I'm inside somebody, and as I'm going to repeat myself, if you're within the last few throes of orgasm, it's physiologically impossible to stop. So if a woman says no at that time, it's taken the man about a minute or two to get to that point. So if all of a sudden, after a minute or two, the girl is saying no, that's the wrong time.
Okay, thank you so much for your comment. I'm actually going to start off with a comment about your comment, and we do thank you for calling in. I totally disagree with what the caller is stating. There has been numerous times in my sexual lifetime where I've had experiences where a guy was about to ejaculate, and I have told them to stop, maybe because they was hurting me, but every time I told a guy to stop, I don't care. About to bust that nut, guess what? They respected me and stopped. Let me get some cameras to come on him.
I'm not saying, well, maybe he really was Joe the Rapist.
Let me ask the caller if Joe, I guess, is already gone, but if he's still listening, or other people who feel the same way. Let's just say, hypothetically, you were having sex with somebody, you were about to orgasm, the man's about to ejaculate into the woman, and a fire leaps through the bedroom. Are you telling me you would stay in her until you finished coming, or you would leap out of the room for your life?
He said it's physiologically impossible, so he would burn to death.
I guess so. So that's always something you want to think about. If it's a matter of life and death, which it might be, going to jail... Yeah, I agree with Keisha. I think, now, I don't have a penis. I've never been a man, so I can't tell you what the experience is like. But I know that there are circumstances where men have had to stop in the middle of that.
You can stop.
I wasn't comfortable with him implying that there's a point where your no doesn't matter, and her no always matters. You know, you may not like
exactly.
It might not be appropriate, it may not be ideal, but her no always matters. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, get your last few pumps and get out. That's what you do. When she says no, just, okay, you really want me to stop? All right, I'm done. Then just get out.
And here's what they forget. The man can say no, too.
Absolutely.
The man can say no, too, and the woman has to respect that.
Absolutely.
At any point. And it may be in the foreplay. If she's dressed too provocatively and it's too much for him, he can find a way to say no to that.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Irwin, I want to ask you a question. This is totally off topic. I apologize to everybody else on the show. But I wrote a piece on my website, blogzilla.com. If you had a penis for a day, what would you do?
You mean sexually, what would you do?
Yeah, like if you had a penis for a day, what would you do?
Probably quadruple my income.
Awesome. I love it. What would you do?
That was a good one. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And on that note, you guys, we're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back.
Great.
Girl, I don't know what's going on. I've been going to the gym every day, working out, sweating hard, doing everything they're telling me to do, but I just can't lose the weight. I mean, what should I do?
Girl, I had that same issue until I contacted DivaFight Fitness. I went to DivaFight Fitness, and they taught me how to bring my sexy back one spin at a time. Girl, with DivaFight Fitness, they are a mobile pole dance and erotic fitness center where they come to you. What they do is they help you strengthen your inner core and help you bring your sexy back. They do like passion parties, bachelorette parties, lady nights out, and it really helps you tone up, get in shape, and really get back to your femininity. I'm going to give you their info. You should contact them, girl. Their info is at myspace.com/DeeDeeFitness, and that's DivaFight Fitness. So check them out. I do know they go to Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee. So, girl, I want DivaFight Fitness, and you should, too.
Thank you, girl. I'm going to call DivaFight Fitness today.
Time I do, you always find a way to come and change my mind. You're my hero.
Feel like a winner when you're beside me. It ain't a thing that I can't be. I feel like a winner. You better guide me like the wind beneath my wings. I feel like a winner. Anytime I plan on giving it up, you grab my hand and look inside of me. Make me feel like a winner. Like a winner. Ooh. Ooh. There were others that I loved in the past. Now I know it didn't last, 'cause we were destined for one another. And I don't even have to ask, you got my back.
Say What Now Radio. Today is October the 19th, 2008, where we're talking about gray rape and date rape. We do welcome all your calls at 347-677-1412, 347-677-1412.
Rat alert, rat alert.
Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, my God, I think it's time for Blogzilla's public service announcement.
That's my intro? Okay. All right, well, I just wanted to say, you know how you have those little company things where you act out the wrong and the right of the right ways of how to handle certain situations? Well, in light of a lot of high-profile events in the news and around the world, the producers here at FWNBTD, that's Folks With Nothing Better To Do, have come up with a few scenarios that just might help you out. Calm down in the face of anger, avoid serious injury, embarrassment, and possible death due to personal decisions, and also how to avoid strangling your baby mama or daddy. So I'm going to act out a few scenarios. Don't mind my terrible acting. Hey, what's up, man? Nah, I'm chilling. About to go on this nature hike next month. Oh, word? Cool. Who's going? Excuse me. Two wild and crazy mountain climber dudes I work with, they said, it's cool. It's like living on the edge and tempting death. We're living off nature for up to 2 weeks at a time. And I thought it sounded pretty cool. Oh, that does sound cool. Check it out. Why don't you go ahead and take a sip of this here Bacardi and Sprite I just made up? Yeah. That's a good little buzz. Yeah, now, how do you feel about going on this nature hike now? Man, that shit sound foolish as hell. I ain't trying to end up on CNN missing. What the hell was I thinking? That was my first scenario. I'm going to try to change my voice up a little bit on the second one. Try to get this frog out my throat. Sorry about that. Hey, man, what's up? Man, I'm tripping over this shit at work. Got me feeling like I'm going into the office and get straight gangster on them. Word? What is it? They just don't know how to respect the man and his hard work. Said I ain't cut out for it. Now I don't get my promotion. Man, that's bogus. So what you going to do about it? Man, I'm about to run up in there next week with my Nina and Pump, some hot ones, and everybody standing in my way. Get my goddamn money. Wow, that sounds cool. Yo, why don't you grab a piece of that cornbread that Grandma made over there? Get that big, giant corner piece. Man, that cornbread was delicious. This was Bisquick, wasn't it? Man, Grandma made it from scratch. But you got that but it got that Bisquick feel to it, don't it? Okay, let me finish. So you really going to shoot up all your coworkers? Man, I ain't going to do that dumb shit. Cops might pop my ass just for the love of it. Hell, I'm about to go in the kitchen and give me another piece of that cornbread. I ain't worried about no damn promotion. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to go and start with a comment that we had in the chat room. And this actually is a question for the doctor. The guest states, from a doctor's perspective, she's curious to hear what the doctor would advise a woman to do when she finds herself in the position of being raped, date raped.
Oh, great. What is the caller's name?
Oh, she's actually in the chat room. It's just a guest that's in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Well, the first, I wonder if she means in the actual position or immediately after. What she wants to do is immediately call the police or go to a hospital or call the fire department, call 911, and they'll take it from there. What she definitely wants to do not shower. I know you feel dirty and you want to do that, but they need the evidence. They need hair, blood, saliva, semen. They're going to run a rape kit. So you must stay dirty and all of that and let them take all of that and, of course, check you for STDs and pregnancy. So, and that increases their chance of catching this guy and, of course, taking care of your health, which is the most important thing. They will give you counseling. They will take it from there. So all you got to remember is get out of there as fast as you can. Call 911. Go to the hospital. Go to wherever you can, the school nurse or whatever it is, wherever your situation is. Dial 911. Do not shower. Go there, and they'll take it from there. And just know that the sooner you get treatment, the better your chances are for recovering and healing much more quickly.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, doctor. I have something that I want to bring up, and I'm going to get YZiva to comment on it first. There, going back to the Michelle story and what Blogzilla said, and some of the things that we said earlier was making it her fault. You know, a lot of times, and I've actually spoken with women who've gone through rape, and they stated that they don't want to report it because even when they report it, the police officers or whoever they do, they start questioning them, and why did you do this, and why did you do this, and why did you do that, and it's actually getting them raped all over again. And then
yep.
I guess the situation with Michelle, she didn't even get as far as going to the police because when she told it to a guy that she actually thought cared for her, he even said, well, you should get to know people beforehand. So
yep.
I want to start with Wise Diva. Why do you feel that when a woman is being date raped or gone through, why does society make it our fault?
Well, I think the perception is that women should know better. They should know how to carry themselves. They should always be on the defense. They should always look out for these CV characters. And when that doesn't happen, the immediate response is, well, you missed something, or how did he get past your radar if you were a smart girl, a girl carrying herself in a positive way. So a lot of times I think the perception is that, you know, we're women and we claim to be strong and independent, but when it comes to making bad choices and bad decisions, it's something that you probably dropped the ball on. And they're not saying that you just deserved it, but they want to know, well, what didn't you see beforehand? And I think a lot of times, especially with young girls, we are attracted to that confident guy, the alpha male, the in-control guy, but we don't know how to discern when he crosses that line to being too dominating, too controlling, disregards your feelings. And a lot of times, in looking back, we saw signs, but we thought it was a positive thing, and it kind of slips on us. So I think a lot of times, you know, we get blamed because they feel like we should know better, basically. They feel like, you know, you've been around enough, there's enough internet, there's enough resources out there, that if your judgment came to this point where you let somebody in your inner circle and near your body, it's because you did something wrong or you missed something, and somehow you could prevent it. And that's not always the case, and it's not always fair, but I think that is a common perception that a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sharon, how do you feel about that?
I very much agree with the doctor. I don't understand why society would put it on the woman. I don't think that it's the way a woman dresses. You know, I do think that women need to be a lot more decisive about what they want in a particular moment, and if not in a relationship, and just to not put themselves in situations if they're not ready to be in that situation.
I think what, as a man, my phone is dying too, so I'm just going to jump in here. I apologize if I cut anybody off. And this is not my belief, but as just looking at it from why somebody would blame a rape victim instead of the rapist, because a lot of times females give mixed signals and they put themselves in that situation. Like if you take the Kobe Bryant case, she went to his room late at night with no panties on. That doesn't mean that she should be raped, because she shouldn't have been touched. But she put herself in that position. A lot of stuff is timing. Even when you talk about success, you have to position yourself amongst the right people in order to be successful. And you have to do things in order to be successful. And I think that might be one reason. Also, because this is still a country that is still learning and trying to heal. America isn't where it needs to be yet. But I do have a question that I wanted to ask, and I wanted to kind of hear. In reference to rape, I want to know how all the guests here feel. If a female were to get raped and then became impregnated, would you believe in her getting an abortion?
Well, this is Dr. Irwin. I'm extremely pro-choice anyway, and I think it's an individual thing. I have seen cases where women did not believe in abortion, and they've had a rape baby and raised it, and it's turned out very well. Mm-hmm. I've seen the other two. So it's an individual choice. I completely honor always an individual choice.
Me too.
I agree.
Yeah. I have to also call the doctor. I feel like we can never step in somebody else's shoes, and it's not our decision to tell somebody else what to do with their body. So I totally feel that it's pro-choice, and it's up to that individual to decide if they feel that they should or should not have that child.
Right. Now, one thing I would want to address toward women who unfortunately have experienced this or know someone who has, even if it is embarrassing, and of course it is, it's the worst thing you can go through is going through a rape trial or anything involved in that. It's grueling. But at that point, it's not about you anymore. It's about helping other people. It's about helping other women. It's about helping that rapist to stop his behavior. So it's really not about you. So if you can put your embarrassment aside, that's natural, and just trust that when you're doing the right thing, all the embarrassment and the intimidation and all of that stuff, that will turn into your power when you stand in the position of doing the right thing for everybody. Real important.
Absolutely.
We can't be silent. We cannot be silent. That is giving them power, and that is re-victimizing you much more than going through a rape trial.
And, you know, Doctor, I'm glad that you brought that up because a lot of times we as women, we are just so afraid of going to the authorities or going to people because we're afraid of how they're going to make us look. You know, you did this and you did that. What did you expect? Well, maybe the sex just got a little bit too rough and you just couldn't handle it. And in essence, they're really raping that person all over again. So I think it's good that there's all these different support groups that are out there for rape victims in every state. You can always Google it. And I think that it's great to immediately go and speak with an officer about your situation. And like the doctor stated, do not take a shower. Go to the hospital. Let them, you know, do a rape kit on you and just go from there. And the fear has to stop now. How do you feel about the fear aspect, Wise Diva? And then we'll finish with Sharon.
I think it's real. It's a tough thing to face. And you're going through such a huge amount of emotions as it is, and it's hard to be rational. It's hard to be logical. So it really helps if you reach out to somebody and get some support to help you contend with the fear because it's not going to be a situation where you can do it on your own. I can imagine doing it on your own. I just think it's important that we teach young women, you know, about learning to be 100% sure about where they feel in relation to the person they're letting to their body. You don't want to be in a situation where you're 50%, oh, I might be interested, I might not want to have sex. If you're not feeling 100% sure, it's best to put off. And I think that's one of the reasons why one-night stands and this casual thing is starting to, you know, lose a little footing because a lot of times you don't know what situation you're going to be facing and you don't know how you're going to feel when you get actual face-to-face with that guy and you're starting to question your judgment or question who the guy is. So I think a message should need to go out, especially to the young girls, especially the college girls, about being completely sure. And if you're not sure, if there's any doubt in your mind, it's best to back off until you are sure. And it's okay to do that. But choosing the time to make those choices that are better served if you're doing it early on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I do want to get out this 1-800. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think we do need to start squelching the fear. And a woman certainly should not go through something like that alone, in my opinion. I think that if a woman has been raped and she chooses to take action, that she should have a lot of support. And I think if possible from both men and women, because I think it's also important to be able to start building a little bit of trust and make sure that the situation is contained to the specific man who broke the trust, not to men in general. But I want to get back to something that Blogzilla brought up a little while ago as well. He spoke about a case with Kobe Bryant where some woman was going to this guy's room without panties on. And that's the perfect situation. Like, what is the woman thinking? And did the woman have in her mind about what she wanted to have happen in that night? And that's what I'm saying, that I think women need to be a lot more proactive and, in a way, a lot more selfish. We need to think, what do I want to have happen this evening? And that's the first step in having control over a situation. And I'm not saying control as in domination, but control as in clarity so that I can ask for the respect that I need.
Well, she clearly was not really respecting herself, and she was trying to feel, I mean, look, he's a very powerful man, to say the least, Kobe Bryant. So it could be in her past she was victimized before. So she's trying to turn her victimization into her empowerment. And who better than to try to bring down somebody that powerful and in the public eye? That dynamic is operating in a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And the sexual power is overwhelming. It can be. It's a coin that women have played for years. And unfortunately, it works many times.
Okay, what we're going to do, you guys, you're approaching the end of the show. We're going to do with our final comment. And what I basically want you to do is just give your final comment about what we're talking about and letting our guests know how they can get more information about you and just basically state your website. We're going to start with Wise Diva.
Well, I think, thanks for having me on, by the way. I just think it's important for us to, I think, look at each other. And, you know, when it comes to relationships and sexuality, we should become more comfortable with the idea of our bodies are our own, making wise decisions, making choices about who you let into your life, and not send mixed messages. I think it's very important that a lot of young women learn more about who they are and separate from their sexuality, and your identity should not be on solely on who, how you sexually to a person. So I think my final message would be for the date rape and gray area is to make smarter choices early on and know what you want. Like she said earlier, know what you want in terms of who you are, what you want in your relationship, and what you want to happen in that night. And I am on the AJC.com, the Misadventures in Atlanta dating blog. I co-write with the blog every other week. You can find the blog on AJC.com and go to the living sections for Access Atlanta.
Okay, Erin?
Yeah, I would echo that I think the most important thing that women can do is to know themselves and have respect for themselves. And I would encourage all women to really learn to trust your intuition. When you're out with a guy, there's that little voice in your head or that feeling in your gut, and I'm not talking about butterflies, but the one that lets you know how much you can trust this person or not and how much you can trust yourself in a situation. My business is Wild Success, and you can find me online at www.wildsuccess.us. And I'm happy to help women figure out what their purpose in life is and to get a more assured footing so that they can move forward with assuredness and certainty about who they are and what they want in their lives.
Okay, thank you. And Doctor?
Yeah, just piggybacking on what I think Diva just said, I would call men to up to a higher level and start respecting their own choices and start looking at who they're choosing to sleep with. Is this the type of woman that might turn on me and mistake my actions? So it requires both genders to respect the other and their own bodies too. We have to stop the gender war and create some gender peace. And that starts with sex, the most basic thing that we've got. My websites are drnancyirwin.com, that's drnancyirwin.com, and also makeayou-turn.com. And also, I just want to throw out the 1-800 number if anybody needs it for rape. That's 800-656-HOPE.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we do thank everybody for tuning in today to the special town hall edition of Say What Now. Don't fret if you miss half of the show because all of our shows are archived and you can also download our shows. So within 15 to 20 minutes, you can always go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/classydivas, CLASSYDEEV as in Victor, A, and you'll be able to hear the whole show in its entirety as well as download it for your podcast if you choose to do so. Next week edition is going to be called Let's Talk Numbers, and this is where we're going to be discussing the double standards of the amount of men women have been with and the amount of women and vice versa. So we do thank everybody for calling in to Say What Now. We do thank our guests, Dr. Nancy, Sharon, Wise Diva, and Blockzilla. As always, you guys can reach us every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Say What Now.
Thank you, Keisha.
Thank you.
You are now listening to Say What Now with Classy Diva and Blockzilla here on Blog Talk Radio. Allow yourself to relax, unwind, and enjoy as we talk about the latest in celebrity gossip,